We all sat down and we watched six episodes of a television documentary called Hip Hop Uncovered. And you talk about a world that you may think that you are familiar with on the surface as far as history goes, as far as how you got from point A to point B. You may think that you're familiar, but until you see this, I don't think you have any idea. I certainly had no idea. Because all throughout the history of this genre, you kept hearing, look, this is a culture. This is a culture. This isn't about, you know, just something that everybody can do and everybody can mean and everybody, when you sing certain lyrics, it has meaning. Okay, whatever. Yeah, sure, it's a culture. No, it's a culture. And when you learn where this came from and you learn about the absolute, abject poverty, drug use, violence, from where this all came from, my eyes have not been opened on something like this in a long time. Like, it was jarring.
I mean, yeah, it's the thread through all 6 hours, right? Where no other musical genre has such a tie to, you know, the realities, the streets, just the general community environment of which it came. I look, every musical genre comes from something.
Yeah.
They all come from some lifestyle, but hip hop as told, you know, the story on some level of an entire culture that doesn't always get told. And of course, much like cowboy movies did to the West or cowboys back in the day, some of it has been amped up for our entertainment and some of it is exactly as you hear. And so the idea here, And Danny, you may have a better handle on how best to articulate this for people who haven't seen it, but I would say the idea here was a created series that is a bit self-congratulatory for sure, as anything like this would be,
especially in the hip hop world.
Yes,
which a lot of their material is very self-congratulatory.
Absolutely,
because they're not getting props from anywhere else.
But it's an attempt to tell the story, and I'm not even sure it's an actual narrative as much as a million little stories all sort of woven together as to how we got from there, late 70s, early 80s, to here, and all of the threads that tie it together. But in Hip Hop Uncovered, they're not even telling the stories of, like, the Babe Ruths of hip hop. They're telling the stories of basically five or six people who had a very influential role that odds are you have never heard of.
I'd never heard of any of them. I feel like I should have, because Tupac, I guess, in a pretty big song of his, referenced one of the guys and it became real controversial,
mm-hmm.
Haitian Jack. But the
did Eminem.
Yeah, Eminem.
Oh, that's
trick,
right. Trick.
I remember that.
I'll
be
honest.
Who's Trick Trick? You know, you heard that song.
No idea.
I didn't know it was a person.
I also had no idea it was a person who shakes down every act who comes through Detroit.
Yeah.
It's an impressive feat.
Which is wild.
So the five people they focus on are a guy named Big U from Los Angeles.
Right, West Coast.
Yep. Deb.
And Bimmy, who are brother and sister.
Yes. Deb and Bimmy, who...
And mother of Waka Flocka.
That's right.
Trick Trick, the aforementioned Trick Trick, and Haitian Jack.
Yeah, Trick Trick's Detroit.
Yeah.
And Haitian Jack is
New York. Friends with Mike Tyson.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, that guy was tight with Queens.
Or Queens, yeah.
He was tight with Tyson when they were kids, and Tyson's a part of this documentary. And to hear the stories of the depravity, the poverty that these people grew up in, it's nothing like you can imagine. And people talk about poverty around here and you can see it. You don't have to go very far in any direction to find hardcore poverty. But when you compare poverty, what it looks like here, at least on the surface, to what it looked like or maybe still looks like in certain parts of New York, holy crap. You're talking about a playground for children that is a demolished building, almost a skyscraper where 7, 8, 9 year olds. That was their park.
Yeah, what I got out of this was you basically had these five influencers of the genre, people at the impetus of the creation of this genre, which is probably the newest musical art form. It's the youngest musical art form out there. It didn't exist before, you know, like 1975.
Right.
And it does, these are the connectors to the streets where it comes from. And my understanding, the best of my ability, is that this art form sprang forth from poverty, which led to desperation, which led to easy money, being employable in the game, selling crack, selling heroin, yes, selling drugs, and these people being directly connected to that. You talk about Deb, who was running drugs for her father, muling heroin strapped to her chest for her father before she was even of double digits age. This is a life that these people grew up in.
And there's no other option.
And they were in that game for a very long time and used their money and influence to establish a lot of these artists. And
there was no bank. The bank was the drug dealer.
The bank was the game.
Yeah, that's one
because,
of the...
And it talks about how they segued to going legit, going straight, by being in the music business with exclusivity and distancing themselves from the game, but it's like you can't get out of it. No matter how hard you try, you're still connected to it.
Yeah, that's one of the allures, I think, but it's also one of the very unfortunate things. Like, what makes you super popular is the fact that these stories are so real that there is a list 50 names long of hip-hop names that have been gunned down in the streets. So these are not cowboy movies. The actors in cowboy movies seldom were shot to death in real life. Now, I'm sure there are exceptions. Not 50 of them.
I mean...
And so but that same thing, Corby, I think is the allure to everyone like, whoa... These guys aren't playing dress up. This is real.
This is real life for them.
So I don't know how to reconcile those two things. Like it's obviously horribly tragic that so many young, talented voices, poets, artists, however you want to. I mean, Nipsey Hussle is right at the heart of the last couple episodes of what a voice for a community and for a generation, and what a sad thing that he was shot down. And boy, this makes no sense. This is such a waste. And how do we do this? At the same time, I'm assuming, much like Kurt Cobain, the popularity of Nipsey Hussle has probably multiplied exponentially since that day to certain parts of the world, aka maybe white people who really are into hip hop, who didn't know who he was, perhaps on a certain level till then. Yeah, I'm just guessing.
One of the most telling clips that was shown in that series was, it was some type of paparazzi, TMZ type reporter that was staking out Nipsey and put the camera in his face. It's like, hey man, how's it going? What's going on with you? He walks up to him and he's like, dude, not me. I ain't about that, dude. I'm a freaking Crip.
Yes.
You know?
And he said
you
that.
You don't.
I am a Crip.
Yeah. So you, as sad as that was and tragic to a lot of people, didn't know anything about the guy really before he passed away, before he was murdered. But, you know, it's a famous line. It looks like they died of natural causes, natural to the line of work they were in.
Man.
And it's the thing, that it's impossible to entirely separate yourself once you start in that game. You want to go legit as a musical artist. You're always connected.
You're never out of it.
Because what are you going to sing about?
Yeah, I know.
What you know.
And
that's what connects with people, is singing about things that you have experienced, seen, felt, known, touched, heard. And to remain relevant, I guess they feel an obligation to stay connected to that life. Otherwise,
it's not real.
What are you?
Think about the guys, though. Think about the guys, the people that they focus on, the five people they focus on, who are now anywhere from 51 to 60, it looks like. 55, yeah. Something like that.
That's probably right.
And, you know, they all grew up in the drug game, and they reached a pretty high level.
A lot of them went to prison
for a
good amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. They all did time for the crimes they committed. And but then, you know, these people that they focus on, they were in the game because they had no choice. They grew up in such poverty. They had nothing. And, you know, you see it on The Wire. It's just what makes money. You go over there to make money. Everybody that does that makes money, and you see that. But eventually they want to get out of it. And they know that they've done wrong, and they know they want to, you know, pull themselves into some legit business. That's the only option they had.
Partly because they know the life expectancy if they stay in that game is
right.
It's not for long.
But the juxtaposition of, all right, now I'm going to get in this game, and this is where the violence came from in the 90s when everybody was getting killed or shot. You basically had drug dealers running hundreds of million dollar businesses trying to make that transition,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't.
Right.
They couldn't separate that.
And you go back to The Wire, and it's kind of like, you remember when Stringer Bell was trying to go legit all those times,
and
it's like, no, you're not one of us. When it talks about the music industry, you're never going to be one of us. Now, granted, Jay-Z may have something to say about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's definitely, when you're a billionaire and you've made your living for the better part of, you know, 30 years, As a hip hop artist, you're finally one of them.
Dr. Dre's a huge part of this.
Billionaire too.
It's great to have some of the big time voices in here, like verifying these stories, like Dr. Dre and Snoop and so many people along the lines who have made it as actual artists. But you know, the thing about hip hop that also has appealed to me when I was a young kid, just, you know, like I've said a million times. Because people always ask, well, how does a white kid from Wisconsin, you know, like hip hop? And I'm certainly not Skin or some of these other guys that were even way, way more into it than I was at that age. But like I said, it was my version of cowboy movies. It was a fun escape to wonder what life was like over there. And I'll tell you what the real appeal is with hip hop that you don't see in other musical genres is if you like hear the backstory on certain bands, you find that it's some music manager who thinks these guys would all look good together in publicity photos. And so, hey, can you play the guitar? Because this guy can play the drums. Let's put you guys all together. You know, all the boy bands of the 90s seem to actually be like they went to casting. I think, in fact, I think Harry Styles' band was
One Direction.
Weren't they put together that way?
That was created.
Like Paint by Numbers. In fact, was Simon involved in that?
Probably.
Simon Cowell? Whatever. The point is, this whole genre is about kind of outing anybody playing dress up. Like, dude, I know where you're from, mm-hmm. and this is not you. You are putting up a complete front about how bad a dude you were back in the street. It's sort of call your own fouls or we'll call them for you sort of thing, where this is not a record company construction. I remember in the early days of NWA, like Dre was involved in like an R&B project or something at a younger age.
Very glam. They all dressed like the Revolution.
Yes,
you know, Prince's band.
They definitely, tried to take him down with, this is what this dude's really about, and he survived it.
Yeah,
but there's very few cases of that. The whole thing with 50 Cent. And
Ice-T as well. I mean, he has some old videos and photos of him, you know, following those trends.
Like, how about,
it was the 80s. People dressed goofy back then.
How about the fact, too, that when you're in those neighborhoods and you're hanging around with people whose lives are gangs, drugs, you know, anything for a dollar type stuff, that how protective they were of the artists saying, you're
get
not going.
Of, yeah, get out of here.
We're getting ready to go, you know, steal 50 cars. Or you're not coming with us. And so these kids that were 16 and 17 that were, you know, air quote, in the game, they would never let them go far enough. Most of them, at least. You know, some of them, they couldn't avoid it. But they tried to keep them away from it because they knew that they could get out. And they, even though they were in the middle of, you know, some of the most hardcore violence and drugs that you could imagine, they knew that getting out was the ultimate goal, and that these people, these young kids that had skills, mm-hmm. they wanted to protect them from
these young poets that had rhythm. You
because
know?
If one
and
of
a
them
cool
got out,
voice.
If one of them got out, in a way, they all got out.
Is Haitian Jack banned from the U.S.?
Yeah, he was deported.
Okay, but he can't come back. That's why they went to the DR to get all his stuff?
I believe so.
But there were scenes of him with all of them.
But they all were at the
DR. I think they were all in the Dominican Republic.
I think they all took him down to his house in the DR. Is he even allowed in Haiti?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's in the Dominican, so he said he went to... Yes, he's allowed in Haiti.
Okay.
He just said he moved from Haiti because of the poverty. So he went to the Dominican and set up a sweet
been
spread.
To the DR, I you know, there's a lot of poverty.
Oh, well, on his side, though, it looks like money talks.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, no, he's living his best life.
But I mean,
his house looks great.
It's just, dude, it was so fascinating to me to see this. And
I thought he was the only one that was really over the top about how great he was. I thought
Big U is a legit guy. I want to go give him a hug.
I thought Big U and Bimmy and Deb and to
Trick Trick
to a certain extent. I don't know how you get the name Trick Trick, but I like it. Probably not for me, though.
He liked it so much he named himself that twice.
But but they all were semi-understated and let other people say how great they were. But the whole Trick Trick thing, man, I might be in for a spinoff on how that whole thing works. My head hurt trying to figure out. So I go to Detroit to play a show, and I have to pay a tax to him that to hear them say it, and there's no way to account for this, but it then sounds like we take that money and we try to fund families that aren't doing well.
Yeah, it's a Robin Hood kind of thing.
It was all very, very weird.
And we want Detroit acts on the opening bill. If you're going to come through here, we want our bands on the bill. There's a tax for it's like a flyover tax almost.
Dude, the poverty was so bad that one of these people, Deb, when she was 7 years old, thought that her dad had a lot of baby powder upstairs. And she went upstairs and put the baby powder all over herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was heroin. And she OD'd just by putting it on herself and had to go to the hospital.
And I believe every word of what she said.
Oh, yeah. Got shot 5 times. I mean, dude, it is so crazy. We are so white.
I know. And that's the thing Bob was saying. It's like it's such a favorite of suburban white kids because they're getting, you know, that's a voyeuristic medium where they're peering into the lives of these people that they'll never understand, never touch.
Prison, it's a peek in the mob.
Yeah.
It's a peek in all of that stuff that we're like, oh, The Sopranos.
Why do we watch mob movies? Why do we watch, violent films? It's the same thing.
It's no different than a
But this is real.
Generation. Right.
You know?
Right.
My kids are so soft.
Oh, my God.
Like, I want them to watch those first few episodes to see what people actually go through that have
nothing.
Nothing. They have nothing.
Well, there's a much bigger issue of, you know, not necessarily how did our inner cities get like this, but how do they get
out of it,
unscrewed, and how does, you know, how does everybody give enough of a crap to do something about it sort of stuff.
Now that we've all seen this, I have a major recommendation, and this is a perfect companion piece. Like you were saying, Bob, that Hip Hop Uncovered didn't focus a ton on the artists unless they were in relation to the five key figures in this series. Go to Netflix. It's a 4-part series so far, and they may be adding to it, but it's called Evolution of Hip Hop. And it's hosted by this guy that does all the one-on-one interviews, and it's every region, it's every big player in the game as far as the artists. Mm-hmm. It is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It's called The Evolution of Hip Hop, 4 seasons, and I think they're each maybe 4 episodes each. So you can watch 16 one-hour episodes of this, and you will get so much information that is more of kind of like, it's more of the stuff that we'll be connect to and understand because it does have to do with the actual artists.
Well, this is Hip Hop Uncovered on Hulu.
Yes.
And look at what we've done. It's Community Quick Hits next.
You'll see.
This